Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of our Mobility Management Podcast. And today, I'm joined by Danny Langfield, the CEO of the National Mobility Equipment Dealers Association, also known as NMEDA, to discuss National Mobility Awareness Month, as well as opportunities for collaboration between the adaptive automotive industry and the complex rehab technology industry. A native Iowan, Danny Langfield began his association executive experience in the membership department of the Association of Texas Professional Educators in 1999. In 2006, Danny was recruited to the Texas Independent Automobile Dealers Association, where he served as deputy executive director for 10 years and provided consulting services to other organizations, including the National Independent Automobile Dealers Association. Danny joined NMEDA as CEO in December 2016, and he now resides in Tampa with his wife, Laura, and their two young children, Zach and Bella. Danny, welcome to our podcast, and thanks so much for being with us.
Lori, it is my pleasure. I appreciate it, and thanks for the bio read there. That sounds like a long time ago, some of that stuff.
Sounds like an impressive guy to me, I'm thinking.
I don't know about that.
Just the guy we want to be talking about, the automotive portion of the accessibility industry. So I'm happy to be talking to you for a couple of reasons. First, the month of May, which is traditionally National Mobility Awareness Month. So I'm going to be asking about that in a minute. But I also want to highlight the relationship between professionals in the adaptive automotive industry and those in the seating and wheeled mobility industry, because transportation turns out to be a huge part of how independent that person in the wheelchair will ultimately be and how independent their family will be as well. So even though adaptive driving equipment and wheelchair accessible vehicles are typically not sold by the same people who provide the wheelchairs, these two industries are very closely linked because they serve and support the same end users and families. And I'm thinking that both industries have a lot of intel that, if it's shared, could help consumers who are navigating a pretty complicated technology environment. That's why we're so happy to have you with us today. And now I want to start with the significance of the month of May to the mobility industry. For years, as I said, May has been National Mobility Awareness Month, and there have been a lot of different activities to commemorate the month. So from NMEDA's perspective and the perspective of NMEDA's members, what has this month meant to the mobility industry, and what does it mean this year at a time where the pandemic has resulted in isolation for a lot of people?
Well, I'll start by saying thank you for having me. It's certainly my pleasure. Lori, I think you guys do great work in mobility management, and I agree with your assessment that there is certainly some overlap here between our industries, and that automotive mobility is obviously a key part of mobility. So thanks for including me into your world here. With regard to National Mobility Awareness Month, we've been doing this for the better part of a decade. The question that you asked about May, it's so interesting as the world comes out, or I should say at least the United States comes out of the pandemic or starts to emerge, and really looking ahead to some of the live events, in-person events we're going to be able to do. The tradition of National Mobility Awareness Month, we haven't been able to do it quite, as you might imagine, the same last year or this year as we've done it in the past with some live events. We've celebrated in a number of ways. Gosh, we did a rehab hospital tour where we went around and brought ice cream out for folks and did a real brief presentation. We'd have some of our dealers bring out the vans that have all the adaptive equipment inside and let people crawl all over them and try stuff out. And so we've been limited in our ability to do that. But the importance of putting some focus on automobility in the National Mobility Awareness Month, it's at least as valuable as it has ever been. You know, everyone's so cooped up for so long. Give somebody a chance to think about, if you're part of this industry, for sure, you'd be thinking about it all the time. If you're a family affected by it, again, something that you're going to be thinking about pretty regularly. But we're really trying to reach out to some of those allied health professionals and then just the general public who may not have that as a part of their everyday life. So that's the whole point, is to raise awareness, just like the name says. So, yeah, this year it's kind of poignant. I'll tell you that everybody's a little bit already looking forward to 2022, when we hopefully can be out there and do something a little bit more along the lines of, you know, out there with our people and doing something a little bit more physically present than sort of the digital version we're doing this year.
Well, obviously you want people to be thinking about mobility awareness all the time, not just in May. And I know that in the past, NMEDA has had great number of impressions, for example, through social media and all this. So I wanted now to ask you about some other programs or projects that you have to educate consumers and families, healthcare professionals, other mobility stakeholders all year round, because I know it can be a challenge to keep that enthusiasm and education going once your Awareness Month is over.
Well said. That's a good point. Everybody forgets about it 11 months a year. I think we're not doing our job. For us, and on the NMEDA side of the house, it really starts with our website. So we have a new website debuted November of last year, and it's at NMEDA, NMEDA.org. There are two sections I think would be of interest to the listeners. One is consumer resources, and then one is industry resources. And let me just talk about a couple of these things. Under consumer resources, there's a section called mobility equipment options. And this is a part of the website for folks who may be new to this area, may not be aware of, golly, there's all these different kinds of hand controls. There's specialized seating opportunities, all the things that your audience is largely familiar with, but a lot of folks aren't. So it's a little bit of a primer there in that section of the site. Once you've learned about these solutions, we have our industry directory. So someone might say, oh, yeah, I am interested in that. Where do I go? Who makes these things? So you can search by the type of equipment, find some manufacturers that may be a good match for you. A big part of our website is the safety-reviewed vehicles. So at NMEDA, a huge part of what we do is our quality assurance program. All of our members are required to abide by a pretty stringent accreditation. And one of the things our manufacturer members do, think in terms of the folks who do the van conversions, certainly you're familiar with Brawnability, VMI, and also the adaptive equipment manufacturers, folks making hand controls, specialized seating, those kind of things. What those folks have is an obligation to submit their stuff to the association. When I say their stuff, what I'm referring to is their compliance data. And most particularly on the vehicles, there's a section on our side for safety-reviewed vehicles. So when someone's contemplating buying a van or any kind of vehicle that has a wheelchair conversion, any kind of wheelchair-accessible vehicle, our simple three-word message is check the list. If they're on the list, that means they are, say, have submitted their compliance data to our association. We've had it sent to third-party automotive engineers who verify that these conversions, which are technically complicated things and are difficult to do, have indeed passed certain federal motor vehicle safety standards. So again, that's called safety-reviewed vehicles. Just a good place to start when you're looking at vehicle purchase. And then there's a dealer locator. At some point, an individual says, you know what, yes, I'm interested in this. I might be interested in hand controls, a vehicle, anything related to what we're talking about with a wheelchair-accessible vehicle, and they want to know where to go. So there's a dealer locator. You can search by, you know, zip code, state, any criteria you want to find a dealer that's qualified to be visiting with people about wheelchair-accessible vehicles and accessories. Unfortunately, as I'm certain your audience is aware, there are some folks out there who are dabbling in this, and they don't know what they're doing, you know, just candidly, and it's dangerous. So we really do encourage people, hey, look for this accreditation, the QAP, Quality Assurance Program accreditation. Got to be where you start. At least you know you're dealing at that point with someone who is obligated to live up to the standards of our program and is very knowledgeable about this very highly specific side of the automotive business.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's transition to these opportunities for collaboration between the adaptive automotive industry and the wheelchair industry and why that collaboration could potentially save everyone a lot of headache and a lot of heartache as well. And I'll start with real-life examples that I get pretty regularly. I hear from a family who buys a minivan from a traditional car dealership, and maybe the family said that there's a wheelchair user involved here who will need a ramp installed, or maybe they don't think to mention that. But even if they do mention it, someone at the dealership says, oh, yeah, sure, you can add a ramp to that minivan after you buy it from us. So the family buys the vehicle, and of course, later they find out, no, you can't just retrofit a ramp because, as you said, it's a technical, complicated process. Or the wheelchair won't fit through the doors of this vehicle or can't turn around inside this vehicle. That's when I hear from the family, they're stuck with this minivan, they've told it can't be retrofitted, and they contact me because they're desperate. And, of course, unfortunately, there's really nothing I can do to help them out at that point. So is this a scenario that you're still seeing a lot of? And if so, do you think that a closer collaboration between adaptive automotive industry members and the wheelchair industry could help? Because if we've got somebody who's getting a wheelchair from the seating team on this side of the industry, then maybe that seating team could talk a little bit about, hey, you want to be careful and not just go to the dealership on the corner because there's a difference. So do you think that that could help reduce this scenario?
Well, the short answer is yes. But I'm assuming for the purposes of our podcast, we're looking to get a little more involved and put a little more entertainment value in there. So yes, just giving you a hard time. Yes, absolutely. And unfortunately, we see it at NMEDA. Well, really not at our association. Our dealer members see this all the time. And it's truly nobody's fault, right? I mean, here's these people. They're looking to get a vehicle. They're looking to have it adapted. And they largely, almost certainly, have never gone through a process like that. So where do you go when you need a vehicle? You go to a car dealer. And you know what car dealers do? They sell cars. So they may not be hyper-attuned to the needs, and I don't want to paint them all with the same brush, but it certainly does happen, you know? There are very few vehicles that make good candidates for full-on wheelchair-accessible vehicle conversion. So the answer to your question truly is yes. If we can have that conversation the earlier in the process with anybody on your side of the industry, anybody, you know, talking about our associations that we're so close with, you know, United Spinal, ResNet, any of those folks, if we can have those conversations about, yeah, you know what, there is a whole industry that's built on the notion that folks with disabilities need, you know, to be transported or to drive themselves safely. And if you start there, you eliminate so many of those problems. And like I say, I never get on to anybody. I had someone call just the other day with that exact story, and they had bought a doggone expensive vehicle, very expensive. This is pre-conversion. And the conversion of a vehicle is also an expensive thing. And at the end of the day, the answer is just no. There isn't going to be a way to safely convert that vehicle. So, you know, we, again, try to get them in touch with our dealers. You know, our dealers are plugged into the straight automotive market as well. Maybe they can help them with somehow disposing of that vehicle. Used vehicle prices are at an all-time high right now, so it is not a horrible time to be trying to sell a vehicle. But then, yeah, you got to start with the right chassis before you have any chance at a good, safe conversion. So, yes, the mobility equipment dealer being involved as early as possible in the conversation for transportation is nothing but a good idea.
Okay, well, that sounds like that sort of collaboration could be a great fit for how the wheelchair assessment process happens, because when someone needs a complex rehab wheelchair for a permanent and significant mobility-related condition, there's a seating and wheeled mobility team that is made up of the client, so the person who will use the wheelchair, plus family members, caregivers, and a whole range of professionals that can include occupational and physical therapists who specialize in wheelchairs, the wheelchair and seating supplier, of course, but the team often includes additional healthcare professionals, such as speech and language pathologists and school-based therapists or aides when the client is a child, maybe a respiratory therapist if the person is on a ventilator or has respiratory issues. So this team can include a lot of people from a lot of different disciplines, depending on each client's particular needs. So I'm thinking it might be helpful for the mobility dealer to also be invited to the wheelchair clinic, at least to the portion of the meetings that involve transportation. Because I'm thinking that a mobility dealer could advise the team, as you said, early, not only about wheelchair accessible vehicles, but also about hand controls for driving, or maybe they could give some tips on wheelchair securement in private vehicles, or if public transit is going to be part of the picture, the mobility dealer could say, okay, are you getting onto a subway? Let's talk about wheelchair securement and how that would work. So do you think it could be helpful for mobility dealers to be part of these conversations?
Absolutely. That would be fantastic. And again, I think that comes down to education, right? I think that as you say it out loud and I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, yeah, that's kind of 101. But man, there's a lot to think about. As you mentioned, all these different specialties, specialists that may be involved, thinking in terms of the automobility potential portion of that analysis, man, anything we can do to help, I would be a big, big fan of that. Our dealers are not regular car dealers. The normal automotive dealer, you know, they're about a lot of volume. They sell a heck of a lot of vehicles, and the sales cycle is very short. People come in, they have a pretty good idea what vehicle they want. They fight and fight over the price, and eventually, you know, maybe that day walk away with the vehicle. A mobility equipment dealer knows that's not the way it's going to go. So for them to be involved in the setting that you described would make perfect sense to them. they're in a consultative stance from the very beginning, saying, okay, what is it that this client needs? From a vehicle standpoint, of course, but then there's the auto adaptive equipment. Are they going to drive? Are they going to be transported? And that's what these guys and girls in my association, they do all day, every day. So yes, affirmative. If we could get involved at that level, I think it could be extremely helpful. And you know, not to keep going back to those nightmare scenarios, but that's how you avoid that. You get the right expert in the room from the beginning and get folks going down the right path. So any way we can be helpful there, the members of our association, I guarantee they would be delighted to do it. From the perspective of your folks, again, at the NAMITA website, it's as simple as the dealer directory. It's right there on the homepage. You can figure out who your nearest dealer is and, you know, give them a buzz, invite them, say, hey, listen, we're thinking you could consult on this. No guarantee it's going to turn into a sale of any kind, but we thought you might be able to be helpful, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be there pretty close to 10 times out of 10.
Okay, that's a great idea, because really, if the wheelchair assessment begins, and fairly early on, the occupational or physical therapist says, you know, I really think we need a power chair in this situation, one of the very early questions would naturally be, okay, so how are you going to transport this power chair so that you're not
right.
just stuck in your immediate vicinity, like wherever the power chair can get to, but also to be able to drive this power chair someplace? Do you have a wheelchair accessible van right now? You don't. Okay, let's go on to the NAMITA website and punch in a zip code or an area and see if we can pull somebody in for our consultation meeting, our next assessment meeting, and pull that person in early. And I think it's a great point that you made, that these are not your typical car salespeople who are just focused on that. You're going to bring in really an ally who is used to working with people who have severe mobility-related impairments. So you're not going to get a NAMITA dealer, a member of NAMITA, coming in and saying, wait, I've never heard, what kind of wheelchair is it? I've never heard of this. These are folks that are well attuned to the mobility equipment on the car side, but also are used to working with families who have people who use wheelchairs, whether that's driving on their own by hand or being a passenger in a ramp sort of vehicle. So you're not pulling in the car dealer salesperson down the street, you're pulling in a healthcare professional ally, right?
Yeah, that is right. Some of our dealers, matter of fact, many of our dealers have ATPs on staff. So it is entirely possible that they have that level of expertise. But if not that, you know, to reiterate the point, these folks are doing this all day, every day. When you're a wheelchair accessible vehicle dealer, you don't sell Mustangs off the side. That's not part of your business model. You are in this business, and it's highly, highly specialized. So, yes, that is absolutely key. And one thing I want to add, too, when it comes to the allied health professionals, those are the folks, and I know that encompasses a broad group of folks, but those are the people that we're trying to reach with some of our education as well. We provide education to our dealer members, of course. It's required under the Quality Assurance Program to get their accreditation. But we also have education that's specific to allied health professionals. And for many organizations we're partnered with, we offer free CEUs. So if you check out the website, go under education, and specifically the section for allied health professionals, you'll see some of the introductory material, like an introduction to, you know, automotive mobility. And these can get you free CEUs, which I know is always valuable for folks. And it also starts to get you thinking more in terms of auto mobility equipment. We recognize tons of OTs and PTs and various folks. They don't bang around in that space all day, every day. So for them to know that, oh yeah, I could get a couple CEUs and sort of familiarize myself with some of the auto adaptive equipment out there, it's a really big deal. And we're glad to offer it. It's a big part of what we do for our outreach for that particular group. Then the only other one thing I want to say on the car dealer side, we have folks out there that are not QAP accredited. And sometimes it's very tempting, especially when you're getting that wheelchair accessible van and it's for the first time and there are financial considerations, to go that route. And we would just urge everyone, please use extreme caution. So many of the horror stories that you're describing come out of that situation. Our dealers are required and are delighted to, as part of their customer service, perform a lot of front-end assessment. Let's take a look at the client. Let's take a look at the client's chair. As you rightly point out, that's a big deal, especially in a power chair. What can they fit into? What makes sense for them? What is a comfortable ride? Are they going to ride in the middle or the back or the front? The securement options. Those things, they matter a lot. And if they're glossed over in the interest of trying to make sure that the transaction is as low cost as possible, unfortunately, that's where those problems can crop up.
Well, I'm pretty sure you said the magic word when you said free CEUs. Because that sounds fantastic, and what a great way to learn a bit more about the mobility portion, the automotive mobility portion of the industry, while picking up CEUs and maybe getting to work with some local colleagues on the automobility side. That sounds fantastic. ADED, the Association for Driver Rehabilitation Specialists, those folks might also be great additions to that wheelchair assessment team as well, right? The more the merrier when it comes to allied healthcare professionals. So maybe if you have a NMDA dealer coming to a wheelchair assessment as well as a driver rehabilitation specialist, if that person is in the picture as well, that can probably stop or prevent a lot of heartache down the road if we just get the right people together from the beginning for that education. So, Danny, thanks so much for the NMDA update. For more information on NMDA, you can visit NMDA, which is NMEDA.org. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time, and I hope you'll come back again for a future episode.
I would be delighted to, and thank you very much for having me. And thanks, Lori, for all you guys do. It really is appreciated. You do great work. It doesn't go unnoticed, and I thank you for it.
Well, thanks so much, and right back at you. I think that the more the two industries can collaborate, the better for the consumer and the better for everyone down the road, because I don't think anyone wants a situation where they drive up in a wheelchair van and then you have to tell the family that, wait, that's not going to work. Thanks, Danny.
Absolutely.
Mobility Management Podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes coming up is to subscribe, and you can also go onto our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. Thanks very much for being with us, and we'll be back again soon.